homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I thought I would talk a bit more about what I've been talking about for several Dharma talks, and that is challenging karma. This is what I'm about to read. It's called The Parable of Me and Mine from the Yogacarya Bhumi Sutra. It's a little story, actually. Some children were playing beside a river. They made castles of sand, and each child defended his castle and said, "This one is mine." They kept their castles separate and would not allow any mistakes about which was whose. When the castles were all finished, one child kicked over someone else's castle and completely destroyed it. The owner of that castle flew into a rage, pulling the other child's hair, struck him with his fist, and bawled out, "He has spoilt my castle. Come along, all of you, and help me punish him as he deserves." The others all came to his help. They beat the child with a stick and then stamped on him, and he lay on the ground. Then they went on playing in their sandcastle, saying, "This is mine. No one else may have it. Keep away. Don't touch my castle." But evening came. It was getting dark, and they all thought they ought to be going home. No one now cared what became of his castle. One child stamped on his, another pushed his over with both his hands. Then they turned away and went back, each to his home. So that's a very clear story about the meaning of self and selfishness. Due to past karma, we are, to a degree, programmed, or if I can put it that way, or conditioned towards the expression of selfishness. Challenging karma means to go contrary to this, and sometimes that means to go contrary to it in a very direct way, requiring effort and actually doing something about ourselves and doing something about our minds. The Dhammapada talks about how we should do this slowly and that it takes time to do this effectively. Reverend Master Jiyu often talked about challenging karma, and that is also one of the meanings of the symbol of Achalanatha's, and Manjushri's for that matter, sword. To cut through entanglements. To cut through past patterns. To cut through the entanglement and antagonism that arises between people. Sometimes this cutting through can take rather strange forms. I remember years ago Jimmy Carter talking about arranging negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians at a particular time. And somebody said, "How did you get the two people to meet?" And Jimmy Carter said, "Well, I told each of them that the other one secretly admired him." And he said something along the lines that it took a good deal for him to hold in his mind that this might remotely be true. And actually, it's a good example of a skillful means, actually, of a bodhisattva action of a skillful means. When Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated, a similar thing happened. In the initial confusion, they didn't know who had killed Gandhi. And of course, in India at that time, there would have been a vast difference in outcome as to who killed him. Because whether it was Muslim or Hindu, or Sikh for that matter, it had the potential of setting in motion, of setting in motion catastrophes. And Nehru talked about, as they were carrying the body back to Gandhi's house, where he was staying, to the guest house, somebody in the crowd that had gathered shouted out, it was a Muslim. And Nehru, without knowing actually who the assassin was, turned to him and sharply said, you fool, it was a Hindu. The India Broadcasting Network immediately shut down and started to play music until they determined who had been the assassin, and then they were able to announce. And since the assassin was a fellow Hindu of Gandhi's, okay, this changed the whole event from the possibility of widespread rioting and murdering the other communities to an occasion of mourning. This, again, is technically an untruth. Although I suppose it could be said in both cases, it was not so much telling a deliberate lie as saying what one hoped was the actual outcome. Both of these cases are the challenging of karma. When we challenge karma, we go against the usual mind, the usual way of looking at things. And this can arise out of meditating. Okay. Meditating, sitting still at the particular time. And I think actually it's a good evidence of both those stories that both people sat still, tried to be still under the circumstances, when in fact everybody else was becoming extremely agitated. And I suppose also both situations could be seen to arise out of the genuine wish that all would be well and the acting on it. And of course, in both cases, if you think of it that way, in both cases, neither of the two people, Carter or Nehru, really were risking anything to themselves. Okay, if you kind of stop to think. If it was discovered to be a Muslim, all that would happen would be things would lurch in the disastrous way. And with Jimmy Carter, you know, people would be inclined not to think about it afterwards anyway. Which again gives an example of when we come to the point of challenging karma, we often, as Dogen says, we think we will lose something. That is the nature of the self. The nature of selfishness is the fear of loss of itself. What will happen? And as Dogen points out, to benefit others is a law of the universe. It is not an artificial thing that we are trying to put on top of reality. When the Buddha taught the existence of suffering, and also there are verses in the Dhammapada about, you know, everything is burning, everything is on fire, everything is dark. And if it were simply a case of leaving it at that, then there would be no means of doing anything. But the Buddha always taught that there is always a means of doing something, no matter how small. No matter how small, the impetus towards good has great power. And in fact, is the only thing we have. But in this whole business of challenging karma, we have to be careful of, how do I put it? Well, using it as a means of reinforcing our selfishness. Now, when that man set himself afire, what was it, earlier this year, in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, the response from, including from some of his Buddhist colleagues, I felt to be so weak that it necessitated for me to say something. You know, even though I'm not somebody who's going to be widely reported, but at least to get it straight. One has to be very careful, because in a sense, of course, such people sometimes are see themselves as a type of cutting through karma, of trying to do good. But as our Master Ji used to say, if you want to do good effectively, you have to give up the idea of receiving thanks for it, or even of it becoming known. Okay. Whereas sometimes people seek to make the grand gesture, and all it does is result in confusion for other people. No doubt the man who killed the Archduke Franz Fanard was set off World War I. And also, for that matter, set off World War I and the Russian Revolution. And eventually, of course, World War II came out of it too. No doubt that person wanted to cut through karma. They wouldn't have used that term, but they wanted to reverse a pattern of suffering. They wanted to do something about the world without really doing something about themselves. And that is one of the fundamental aspects of the Buddha's teachings, is that one has to do something about oneself. This is repeated again and again and again and again. There is no spiritual progress without addressing one's own selfishness. This is whether or not the dealing with one's own selfishness, of course, then leads one to a broader course in benefiting others, which of course it can. Many people, so I'm told, in the mental health profession, enter that due to their attempting to address their own suffering or their suffering of their families. There is a phrase in the Chinese which says, many people have tried to take over the world and turn it to their will. None has ever succeeded. Rather, to grasp the self, to do something about ourselves, to challenge our own karma, and also to challenge the karma between ourselves and other people. But to do this, we have to remember that the various laws of the universe is not answerable to our personal will. So even if we think we've done the right thing and have it tied up all neat in a nice little bow, it's not necessarily going to work out that way. Because we don't have control over how other people perceive us. Other people are often perceiving us through the lens of the distorted lens of the past. Angunimala became a monk of the Buddha, but he was a mass murderer, or serial murderer, I suppose they would call them now. He killed many people. He was converted by the Buddha, and when he was such a feared person that the king had sent out an entire army to subdue him. And when the king came to, or the general came to where the Buddha was, the Buddha pointed out Angunimala among the monks. And if I remember correctly, all the people who had come trembled. When Angunimala, later on, after his training, went to a village to receive alms. And the people there had known him from before. And so they picked up rocks and threw them at him and drove him away. And he went back to the Buddha. And the Buddha said, "This is the karmic consequence of your previous behavior. You cannot control how other people perceive you." And sometimes what we are experiencing from other people is the karmic consequence of something that happened before we were born. Sometimes it isn't even karmic consequence. It's simply somebody sees us and we represent something to them, either race, religion, or whatever have you. And there's sometimes nothing we can do about that unless they're prepared to talk to us or whatever. Angunimala in the stories also went on one of the alms round and encountered a woman in childbirth who had a breech birth. And the people who were with her asked him to do something. And he told the Buddha that he didn't know what to do. He told the Buddha like a few minutes later when he encountered the Buddha. And the Buddha said, "Go to where the woman is and recite." "Since I was born, I have not killed any being. By the power of these words of truth, may the birth be at ease and come through." And Angunimala said, "I can't do that," which of course the Buddha knew. And the Buddha said, "Well, then say, since I was ordained, since I entered the Aryan birth as a monastic, say that." And according to the story, he went and did that, and the birth eased. The verse is still used in Southeast Asia for the same purpose. The belief that the merit of the life of transformation of Angunimala continues down to the present day. That too was the Buddha showing Angunimala how to challenge past karma. In that case, the past view of oneself as being fixed in a particular way. If you can understand, in Angunimala's mind being fixed, "Well, I can't say I have never killed because," and the Buddha saying, "Well, then say you haven't killed past this particular period of time." The Buddha was always teaching people in that particular, excuse me, particular way. Where am I? That is teaching people how to not get stuck in viewing themselves as an unchanging self. And also stopping other people from viewing people in this way. Like with Angunimala, of course, was a major lesson to the king and to the local people. Although there was such a fuss over it that there was a monastic rule made. Because monastic rules were always made after the circumstance arose rather than being made to prevent a future circumstance. So there was a monastic thing made saying that when somebody is ordained, if they are, a famous criminal and wanted by the police, you cannot ordain them until the circumstance has been dealt with. Okay. So there was another monk who was, he couldn't remember anything. So he would always learn little verses, try to learn little verses of teaching, but couldn't retain them. And so finally what the Buddha did was to, depending on the story, the version of the story, gave him something to clean. In one case, it was a piece of cloth. And in the other case, it was sweeping. And so the person, the monk, was able to recall the teaching relative to what they were doing, and then was able to change to such a degree, even though that same monk had actually been turned out of the little monastery that his brother ran on the grounds that he couldn't remember anything at all. But the Buddha was always for finding ways of helping beings, no matter even if other people had given up on them. Challenging karma takes courage, effort, patience, remembering that we are not God and that the universe is not answerable to our personal will, remembering that we are not the only people in the world, and that if we do not deal with a particular situation, we are not the only person, that is an external situation, we are not the only person who can do that, you know, the savior complex. And sometimes just a little sense of humor helps too. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds, homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds, homage to the scripture of great wisdom.